Cuomo News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
And I thank you for hooking up and hanging with me here, Newsline PM. I appreciate that a lot. So we've got this, what now is being described as a possible copycat to that horrible incident in Colorado 1 week ago today. This is a guy who was just armed to the teeth. There's updates now that said he had an arsenal of something like 25 guns and thousands of rounds of ammunition. And these included assault-style rifles, handguns, and he apparently was intent on using those weapons to just go out and begin slaughtering people. He's a 28-year-old guy from Maryland. When they arrested him, apparently he was wearing a T-shirt that said, "Guns don't kill people, I do." So authorities are saying this was a significant threat. He referred to himself, by the way, as the Joker or a Joker. And he was arrested today, taken into custody, and he apparently had made threats against his former employer, which was Pitney Bowes. And he said that he was going to go back to work there and he was going to kill as many people as possible. And so authorities, you know, acting on a tip, I would imagine, acting on a tip, went to his apartment and found all of these weapons, dozens and dozens of boxes of ammunition. And, you know, I at this point, you never know. Authorities are saying, you know, we'll never really know if this was something that he was actually going to go through with. But they are of the belief that he was in that mindset. So no charges immediately filed. Unclear how he got all of these guns. That's another question. Continues to come up. He was undergoing a psychiatric evaluation at some medical center in the area there where he lives in Maryland. In Maryland. And so I have no idea if that had, you know, any encumbrance on him getting a hold of those weapons. So, but at least this one doesn't come with the headlines that we had a week ago, 1 week ago. Some of the developments in Maryland, by the way, just to bring, because there's so much that we haven't talked about in respect to some of the events in Maryland. Some of the victims still in critical condition are fighting for their lives in the wake of this movie theater shooting. And they, when they get out of the hospital, there's still going to be enormous, enormous medical bills. And some of these people don't have any health insurance. Now, I think it's is it Disney or is it whatever the studio is, Warner Brothers, they're contributing something like $2 million to help the victims. Some of the hospitals, three of the five hospitals treating the victims still earlier this week said they will either limit or completely wipe out their medical bills. But some of these poor folk are facing a very, very long recovery period. And the medical costs that are going to be associated with that, they have no health insurance. And there's no nobody seems to know how many of them don't have insurance. But there's a lot of them that just may not be covered. So we'll see what happens there. State officials are saying they don't know if the victims qualify for emergency Medicaid, and we'll just have to see as this evolves. But I can see a period of time coming here. There's going to have to be some point of helping these poor people, you know, deal with everything that they've got in the future, if these long rehabilitative periods are going to be necessary. The other thing that came out this week is apparently as quickly as the officers, as police officers responded to the 911 calls that began as the gunman in the theater opened up fire, the police were there within 60 to 90 seconds. They were there very, very quickly, mostly because I think that the police station was very in close proximity. But they got there very, very quickly. But the real problem, the horror, is that the officers kept out sending urgent pleas for more ambulances. And so there was some communication problems there. There was an ambulance with a couple of medics who were just a couple of miles away, were sitting there with their engine idling, unaware of everything that had transpired. But there was a period where it was more than a half an hour before some of the ambulances began arriving. Now, there's nothing to suggest that some of the people who subsequently passed away from having been shot, some of those people may have had their lives saved because the ambulances were not there. But you have to wonder, you know, in terms of coordinating events of this kind, you know that emergency responders go through training drills. I know we go through it here in Seattle. There's lots of areas in which, you know, hospitals and police officers and fire departments all work and coordinate and plan for the most horrific situations. So it's kind of disconcerting after we heard that the police had gotten to the theater so quickly that there was, you know, such a long delay in getting information out to the ambulances so that they could arrive. Also new, a Colorado judge has said they're not going to be there. There's no allowance for the release of the suspect's school records. Now, there had been filing. They wanted to get his records and find out more about him as to, you know, maybe there's something about a motive in there. This is from, I think, the media. So the media had petitioned for the suspect's school records, and the judges said, no, that's not going to happen. This is after it was learned that he was withdrawing from the graduate program but hadn't completed all the paperwork that was necessary for him to do that. There are reports that he had faced some kind of oral exam very shortly before the shootings and failed that miserably. And plus the records from his college education down in California, in Southern California there, may not have been what they were presented because, you know, initially we were told that he graduated with highest honors. That may not be the case. Whatever it is, and whatever interest may prevail here, a Colorado judge has said, no, we are not going to be releasing this man's school records for the prurient interest of those who want to find out and delve a little bit more deeply into what makes him tick. Maybe in time we will. In a moment, we're going to talk about Jeff Bezos, who has generously given, like, it's over $2 million to the campaign for Washington United for Marriage. This is in support of marriage equality here in Washington State. So, boy, that war chest for those in favor of marriage equality growing significantly, and we'll talk about the significance of that in just a moment.
Reporting the news, understanding the news. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Well, Washington United for Marriage continues to build a needed and necessary war chest. We've got Jeff Bezos and his wife, Mackenzie, have said they're going to fork over $2.5 million to defend Washington's marriage equality law. You know, that marriage equality law, I keep looking, that was supposed to have taken effect on June 7th. But the referendum 74 folk, when they filed, that put that on hold, and then they turned in enough signatures to get that measure put to the ballot. Which, and I'm going to drive this point home because there's some confusion as to how you vote. You vote yes on the referendum, and then that upholds the law that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. You have to vote yes in order to keep the law. No means you want to overturn it. You want to get rid of it. Zach Silk is the campaign manager for Washington United for Marriage. Joins me here this afternoon. Hi, Zach.
Hey, Ken. Always good to join you.
Good to have you here. The money's rolling in, man.
Well, we are really fortunate. This obviously was an amazing gift and a real game changer for us.
Now, the opposition to this, the, what is it, Preserve Marriage Washington?
that's right.
And then there's a national or the National Organization for Marriage. They've already pledged. I know the National Organization for Marriage has pledged large amounts of cash. Has any of that begun arriving here yet that you know of?
Not that we see, everybody has based on our public disclosure laws, everybody has to file public disclosures of their donations. And we haven't seen that, but they've said over and over again they're going to spend upwards of $7 million, and we take them at their word.
So how much do you have in the war chest right now?
Well, we've raised, with this incredible gift, we're at about $5 million. So we're still under where our opponents say they'll be, so we've got some work left.
And so the money's going to be used what? That's primarily going to be put into spots so that people can get a better understanding of what the impact of this law will mean?
That's right. We're going to spend all of our money talking to voters. We'll do that by hiring our organizing team that's going to work with volunteers to have those volunteers talk to voters. Certainly we'll be on television and radio communicating with voters, letting them know that if they want to support the freedom to marry for all loving couples, that they need to approve Referendum 74.
One of the things that I thought was done really successfully was personalizing this issue, was telling the personal stories of people whose lives will be impacted by this law. Is that going to continue to be one of the main approaches to this as you put information out there?
That's right, Ken. And in fact, actually, that ties in with Bezos' gift. Our finance chair, she's a lesbian. She's been with her partner over 20 years. She has four kids. She has grandkids. And she reached out. She's a former Amazon employee. She sent an email to Bezos and explained to him how important this was to her. And as you can tell, it really resonated with him. It was her personal story that got him to give such an overwhelming gift.
His gift is absolutely remarkable. I mean, boy, good on him. But the poignancy, and I think that is what helps to bring people come to a better understanding of what this means. This isn't, faceless individuals out there, who just, may or may not be impacted and they may or may not be able to get married. We're talking about people who have had to kind of, by hook or crook, put together and keep together a relationship that in many instances is, decades long.
That's right. And really, these same sex couples, they want what we all want. They share the same hopes and dreams, and they really want to build a life with the person they love and make that commitment forever and have it recognized as a marriage. And that's what we're fighting for.
Now, there's been a contradiction in polls. There was a poll, I think it was out earlier this week or late last week, I can't remember which showed Referendum of 74 passing handily. Now there's another poll out that shows it well under 50% in terms of approval. Do you pay attention to all that?
Honestly, I don't, Ken. These public polls, they'll tell you exactly what you just saw, which is they bounce all over the place. And, we see some consistency. You're always looking kind of for averages. It seems like over and over we're right there just above 50%, which suggests we're in a winning position, but we're not taking anything for granted, and we have a lot of conversations to have between now and the election.
All right. Zach Silk, the campaign manager for Washington United for Marriage. Good talking with you again, Zach.
Thank you, Ken. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Again, I'm going to remind you, Referendum 74, when it comes up for the ballot here, which is in November, you vote yes on the referendum to uphold the law that was passed by the legislature creating marriage equality. If you vote no, it overturns the law. In a moment, the flap behind Chick-fil-A.
Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
All of a sudden, taking a bite out of a chicken sandwich has become a big political issue. Thanks for joining me here on Newsline PM. I appreciate it. My commentary's about this today. Check it out on Facebook. It's up there. They got a link to it where I address the Chick-fil-A issue. What we're talking about, this, it started out, and there are two very clear issues within this one issue here, at least in my opinion. The whole thing started brewing when the owner of this Chick-fil-A franchise, and it's mostly in the South, and it's looking to expand to different areas of the United States. but it's based in Atlanta, so it's throughout the entire South. I've never had a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and it's not likely that I ever will. But this whole thing really kicked up some dust when the owner of the franchise, the president of Chick-fil-A, his name is Dan Cathay, or Cathay, a very, very devout Christian, right? He closes. None of his stores are open on Sunday because he wants them closed so that his employees can go to church. And he made a statement last week where he said, this is his quote, "I think we're inviting God's judgment on our nation when we shake our fist at him and say, we know better than you as to what constitutes a marriage." So he is a fervent opponent. A fervent opponent to marriage equality. His right. I mean, there's no question. He has a right to his political opinion on this. But he also contributes to organizations that are very, very active in defeating marriage equality laws. So he's pumping money into this as well. So there's been calls for a boycott and everything, which, fine, I can support that. But then you start – I'll tell you what. Before we get any further, I want you to listen to this, because Stephen Colbert took this issue on in only the way that Stephen Colbert can do.
"Recently, homosexuals have been threatening a sacred union between a company and its customers. Come on. It's AT&T, not AT and Steve. Recently, companies like JCPenney and Oreo Cookie have come out in support of gay rights. But one fast food company has drawn a line in the lard.
For years, people have criticized the fast food franchise Chick-fil-A for donating millions of dollars to groups that oppose same-sex marriage. Now the company's president, Dan Cathay, is responding to that criticism, saying, hey, guilty as charged.
I think we're inviting God's judgment on our nation when we shake our fist at him and say, we know better than you as to what constitutes a marriage.
Now, no surprise, Chick-fil-A supports traditional marriage. Unlike KFC's Double Down, two chicken breasts rubbing up against each other, that is nothing but a lesbian fantasy snack. I think the people who are criticizing Chick-fil-A are nothing but a bunch of monsters. But the greatest thing about this controversy, I believe, is that we have finally managed to politicize yet another part of our lives. I mean, I've got to know what positions my food has taken on all the issues. For example, I love Carl's Jr. Western Burger. It must be anti-Obamacare because it is clearly trying to kill us. And whenever I go to Applebee's, I insist they give me only right wings. After all, you are what you eat. And now you also believe what you eat.
Like I said, Stephen Colbert tackling the controversy surrounding Chick-fil-A as only Stephen Colbert can do. Now, but here's the other side. When I said that there's an issue within the issue, I have no problem with the boycotts that people are calling for. If the consumers have the right to choose where they want to spend their money. But here's where I do have an issue. When you're talking about New York, Chicago, Boston, political leaders there and in other cities are talking about using their elected offices to keep Chick-fil-A from opening up new restaurants in their districts. So, for example, there's an alderman in Chicago says, no way are they getting in here. I'm going to keep them out. I don't want an organization, a restaurant like that, here in my district in Chicago. And as I've obviously, if you know me at all, you know that I disagree with Chick-fil-A's philosophy and opposition to marriage equality. But this is a legitimate business. And as I mentioned in my commentary today, what I said is that we're talking about elected officials who want to use the power of government to punish people for their political views. I mean, that is, think about that for a minute. We are talking about the government punishing people for a political opinion. The owner of this restaurant does not believe in gay marriage. The owner of this restaurant is so committed to not allowing gay marriage that he contributes a lot of money to organizations that fight it. That is his right. It's my right as a consumer not to buy his food. It's my right as a consumer not to give him money so that he can contribute millions of dollars to these organizations that fight marriage equality. But I really am concerned that, you know, these politicians, these pandering politicians who are saying, oh, we're going to keep him out. It would be like, and I again said this in my commentary today, it would be like conservative politicians banning Amazon from doing business because it supports marriage equality. I mean, look, political leaders can work for a change. They can try to and join in with forces that are trying to get the civil rights of gay and lesbians the ability to marry in this country. We as consumers can make choices, but I don't want to see the government interceding here and smothering legitimate businesses because they don't like what the owner's political positions are. That's some real dangerous territory that we're getting into. And I want to ask if you agree with me on this or not. Local line, 206-421-1000. And the toll-free line is 877-397-COMO. That's 877-397-5666. Again, my commentary on this, if you go to Facebook, go to my Facebook page, like me on there, blah, 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 and then click on that and you'll see how I've delineated this. Because I think it's deeply disturbing to consider that we have politicians, elected officials, who think that they have the opportunity to use the power of government to suppress, to smother, to punish people because of their political opinions. And I think that's wrong. That's just crazy stuff. Dan in Renton, you're up on Newsline PM. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Ken?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ken, this is fundamentally has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with right and wrong. This has to do with God, how he set it up and ordained it. And I know you claim to be a Christian, but Christians don't get to, or non-Christians, tell God that he's wrong. And when God says that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that anything else, Old and New Testament, is absolute abhorrent immorality to him, just like murder, just like theft, just like any other sin.
When did God tell you that, Dan?
Well, that's what the Bible says.
Well, God told me that I should be far more tolerant and far less judgmental. And
no,
let
Dan,
him, and,
I'm not
and,
talking
and,
about...
No, Dan, I didn't interrupt you. And the point here is not whether we agree with what the Bible says. The point here is the political nature of government interceding. That I can't agree with. But this guy has the right to express and support his own political opinion. 206-421-1000. More of your calls in a moment.
You've heard what's happening. Now, find out what it means to you. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
So Chick-fil-A is this fast food restaurant chain based in Atlanta. It's not up here in the Pacific Northwest. Very, very conservative Christian who's the president and founder of this thing. And he contributes a lot of money to organizations that fight marriage equality. So I'm fine with the boycott here, and I'll never eat there. I'm not going to give him my money so that he can use it to try to defeat marriage equality. But my issue is with these politicians that have kind of burst on the scene here, because there are cities this guy is looking to expand. So he's looking to get into Boston and Chicago and New York and other cities in the Midwest and East Coast. And we have politicians that are saying, no, I'm keeping him out. I'm going to keep that guy out because I'm an elected official and I can find a way to do that. And I'm thinking, no. You don't get to use government to punish people for their political views. That, I think, is a real dangerous step. Do they really know what they're doing when they say they're going to attempt to do that? And I'm asking you, do you see the two different issues within this? 206-421-1000 is the local. 877-397-COMO is toll-free. We got Lisa in Bellevue. You're up on Newsline PM.
Hi, Ken. Yeah, I'd like to point out that, you know, back in the civil rights movement, government was strongly involved in forcing companies to hire African-Americans and to allow African-American students into schools. I don't see anything different with this. Marriage equality is a civil rights issue. And if politicians don't want to have, for lack of a better word, bigoted companies in their areas, then why shouldn't they have that power?
Because this is different. This is someone who is reflecting. I understand why you're trying to make the comparison, Lisa, but I don't see it. When schools prohibit people from attending because of race or religion, that is against the law. It is not against the law to have a political opinion that says, I am opposed to gay marriage, and I am going to contribute to organizations that will prevent those laws from being changed. There's a vast difference there. You don't use government to punish people for their political views.
But their political views are punishing people's freedoms. If somebody wants to get married, he is trying to say that I'm going to have the power and I'm going to use my money to prevent that from happening. And the politicians, I feel, are trying to level the playing field a bit to help stand up for the people that are being discriminated against.
Well, I can see your perspective, but I just can't agree with it. I don't want government stepping on people who have a political opinion that is different than theirs. And I think the Chick-fil-A people, they're not discriminating directly against gays and lesbians. I'm sure that they've probably, without knowing, because this guy is very religious, have hired people. And I'm sure that, you know, there are people within their company who are, you know, gay and lesbian. That would be discrimination if he refuses to hire people based on their sexual orientation. But fighting against a law, I think is really different, at least in my mind. I do not want government stepping and punishing people because they hold an opinion different. We have people within government that don't agree with marriage equality. What do we do with them? We can vote them out, but do we punish them somehow? Slippery slope here. Tony in Olympia, you're up on Newsline PM.
Yeah, Ken, I think it's very basic. Excuse me, very basic. This mayor's elected by the people to take care of the people there. And it's just not an opinion what this company's doing. They're loading up lots and lots of coin to get this thing overturned. So the mayor says, no, you can't do that here. My people agree with me. Stay out.
But here's what the mayor's doing, Tony. Going after a legitimate business. This business is not doing anything illegal.
Neither is the mayor.
Yes, the mayor. The mayor is abusing the power of government.
I don't agree. I think he takes care of his town and his people.
Okay. And then the example and the criteria has been set. And when there's something that strikes differently, you're allowing government to begin deciding for you and me and the guy that owns Chick-fil-A what we can think. That's what you're saying government should be allowed to do. Dave in Seattle, you're up on Newsline PM.
Thanks, Ken. I got to totally agree with you. These people just don't see the point. This will bring actually a bad precedent. And the reason is if the government backlashes against companies who are transparent about their political support, that pretty much wipes out the argument that companies need to be transparent in their financial donations and basically plays into the hands of groups like Citizens United who want to keep political donations totally in the dark. And that's not what we want. We want to find out what these companies support. I mean, if I had to go through and if I wanted to ban every company that I basically disagreed with, I mean, my cupboards would be bare.
I totally agree, Dave. And here's, you know what, you put me on a track for something. Thank you. Here's what this comes down to. If there is a company that is in opposition to Barack Obama's health care reform, and Barack Obama has the power of the presidency behind him, should he be allowed to punish that company for not agreeing with him on health care reform? And he can keep that company from expanding or getting necessary loans. Why would you agree to one and not the other? Because I think Chick-fil-A, I'll never shop there. But I don't want the government stomping on them.
Seattle's waking up to the Como Morning News 5 to 9. Right now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Some people are just not gonna let this go. Last week, we were talking about Arizona Sheriff, Maricopa County Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio and his posse and the investigation they did into Barack Obama's birth certificate, and it's a fake. Now we've got, and don't tell me that this doesn't encourage people, because now we've got this Alaska guy. He's from Juneau, and he is suing the state of Alaska to prove that President Obama is qualified to be on the ballot. Now, I don't understand why he's suing the state of Alaska, perhaps because they had their delegates, you know, for Obama there. I don't know. But he's suing the state of Alaska because he does not believe that Barack Obama is qualified to be president because of his – that he was illegally inaugurated, that his citizenship status is unknown. And by the way, he's also suing Nancy Pelosi's right for federal office because she's a woman. In a moment, the woman who put a photo on Facebook and got in trouble because of it.